Right. Good morning. Nice to be with you. Thank you for being here. I trust that God is at work in your life. I feel Him at work in my own life. So the cool thing is it's kind of like you don't even have to do anything. And next thing you know, God's at work. You wake up and you like have a beard. And it's like, oh my goodness. Like it's not even like by your own effort. You don't really, you know, like God is at work. God does things. And such an amazing thing, such a privilege. I don't know exactly what God's doing in your life, but I trust that He's doing some great things. And so, my name is Dove, if I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, and it's nice to be here. This morning, we're going to spend some time just imagining for a little bit. So I want you guys to go down imagination lane with me. I'm sure your imagination is going to look slightly different than mine, and that's good. And so feel free to change some of the details that I'm imagining and put in your own pieces. But I want you to imagine that today, after our gathering, that you're standing in the back, hanging out, chatting with people, and Jesus is here in the flesh, in a human body again. And Jesus says, hey, whatever your name is, put your name in there. I want to come over to your house tonight for dinner. And so you're probably thinking, oh man, my house is a wreck. And I don't have anything to eat except some pizza from like 3 days ago. And I actually had this movie picked out on Netflix that I was really looking forward to watching. And so of course you say, sure, that sounds good. And so he says, okay, how about 6? And I was going to bring a couple friends, and we'll just stay the night and we'll leave tomorrow. Okay. So I'm guessing that you wouldn't just go home and totally forget about it. And then at 6 o'clock when the doorbell rings, oh, hey, Jesus, I forgot. And you got some friends. Hey, come on in, guys. Yeah, sorry it's a mess. Come on in, I'll just move some things around on the couch. Throw those wherever you want. Find a place to sit. I'm right in the middle of a movie. You missed the good part, but there's still some good stuff coming up. But make yourself at home. You guys hungry? I got some pizza. It's pretty good. If you put it in the microwave, it's almost like it's fresh. And it's got bacon on it. It's like really tasty. And I don't think you would do that. But I think if you did, I think Jesus would be cool with that. You know, I think He'd be like, all right, yeah. Like, I can enter into your world. You don't have to, like, do something miraculous for Him. But I'm guessing instead, you would leave here, you would go to the store, and you would pick out some specific things for dinner. And I'm guessing that would be challenging. Would you buy food that he's kind of used to? Would you try to at least meet Jewish kosher requirements? Would you pick out your favorite dish? Or would you pick out something you know you're good at making, at least you haven't had too many people complain about? Would you buy wine? If so, what kind of wine would you get? Or would you just call somebody and just be like, hey, you gotta come and bail me out. Like, come and help me cook tonight, please. But I'm guessing you would do something. I'm guessing, I don't know, would you change your clothes? I mean, I already saw you wearing this. Would you change into something different, nicer? Would you put some perfume on? Maybe something he likes, I don't know. Frankincense, myrrh, spikenard. What are you gonna? Are you gonna start coffee before they come over? Decaf? Okay, so Jesus comes to the door. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna greet him? Do you give him and his friends a hug? Do you offer to wash their feet? I mean, they used to do that. Do you show them around your house? What are you going to do when you're having dinner with Jesus? So imagine Jesus comes in, it's time for dinner, you're serving dinner. Jesus and however many disciples he brought, maybe a couple, I don't know, sitting around your table. You're watching as when they're almost done with the salad, then you go into the kitchen and you start plating up the main dish. I'm not even going to imagine the main dish. That's yours. Yours is going to be, there's probably, everybody's got a different main dish. Do you take the ice cream out? Remember to take it out so it's going to be a little bit soft and not, you know, hard on top, but soft on the edges. So you plate up the main dish, bring it back, take out the other dishes. Wait till they're finishing up with that. It's time for dessert. Let's say you're doing banana splits. Go into the kitchen, get the bowls, split bananas, put ice cream on there. Do you take requests for toppings? Or you just bring all the toppings out and say, put whatever toppings you like on it. We got whipped cream and marshmallows and cherries and pineapple. What would you do if you were having dinner with Jesus? That's not even going to sleep. I mean, where are these guys going to sleep? Are you going to give them your bed? Jesus, have your bed? Or, I mean, so after dinner, clean up. It's like, hey, why don't we move into the living room, sit somewhere a little more comfortable? Imagine that his disciples head off to bed, and you're just sitting there with Jesus. What do you talk about? What do you think Jesus would say to you? Is he going to say, hey, I saw this really good movie, you want to watch it together? Is he going to just listen as you tell stories and he adds insight? Would he sit there and teach you about the kingdom of heaven? Would he talk specifically to you and say specific things that you need to hear? Would he ask you, what do you want? What do you think Jesus would say to you? Or what are you afraid Jesus would say to you? What do you hope Jesus would say to you? What would it be like if you had dinner with Jesus? One thing I'm sure of is that time with Jesus would change your life. You would be a different person. And so we're going through a series and looking at that. How when we encounter Jesus in our life, we become different. There's a part of us that spiritually becomes alive. We are transformed and marked and animated. We are brought to life. And that process of animation continues today, even though today we're not with Jesus in the flesh, in his human body. And so we're going to look at a story, an encounter. This is an account of two sisters named Mary and Martha and what their experience with Jesus was like. Why don't we pray first and just ask God to use this. God, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for being at work in our lives. Thank you for wanting to have dinner with us. Thank you for wanting to enter into our lives and to be a part of our lives and to bring life. Thank you that you bring life. Thank you for changing us and making us new. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for being with us wherever we go. Thank you for your intentions this morning. God, I ask that you would speak to us, that this would go beyond just words, but that you would touch our hearts. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So this account of Mary and Martha is in Luke chapter 10, towards the end. It is a very short story. As far as I know, it's the first time that Martha and Mary encountered Jesus and got to know him. Although from after that point, as you can read in John, they became really close friends. And Jesus impacted their life in a tremendous way. And so here we go. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And so those of you that have younger brothers and sisters, kind of like Martha, I'm assuming you can relate to that. Tell my younger brothers and sisters to do something. These lazy brutes, come on. All right, so we got Martha busy. She's taking care of needs, dinner, hospitality, and Mary's just sitting there. Just hanging out with Jesus. Whatever. So Jesus turns to Martha. And he says, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things." And those of you that have older brothers and sisters can probably relate to that. Relax. You guys are always worried about something. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And that's the end of it. That's the entire first account of their experience with Jesus. What amazing words here. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And so what do we get from that? What is the lesson? And the first lesson that we find is that we need to just stop doing and just be with Jesus. Listen to him. And in a world full of activity, it's not always easy just to stop doing and just be. And you may have heard people say, we are human beings, and yet we act as if we are human doings. So full of doing and doing and doing and doing. And to stop and just be with Jesus. In my life, I try to spend some time each day to just stop, read the Bible, pray. When I read, I don't read, just cruise through and read a lot. I try to read slow, digest, think about it, pray about it, engage with it. We can read the Bible in a way that all it is intellectual. Just information, information. And I've done that plenty. And we can also read it in a way where it's hearing from God and communicating with him and being in his presence and stopping, being refreshed. I remember in college when I first came to Christ and was like going to church for the first time. And I remember this girl. I thought she was pretty cool. And she came walking up. I forget the exact scenario. She's got like this glow on her face. She's like, I just spent an hour with God. I'm like, you just did what? Just spent an hour with God. I'm like, okay. Like, cool. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. But developing that habit of stopping and just spending some intentional time with God. And I always thought it was a weird name, but the name that American Christian culture has given this time is a quiet time. So have a quiet time. But it's more than that. Another friend, she calls it TOG. I need to get some TOG, some time alone with God, and just get some TOG each day. And that time alone to be with God and to be in His presence and to hear from Him and to stop the doing and be is so valuable and so strengthening. Even our time of worship here, we spend time, we do 5 songs at the start of our service. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but it's just all kinds of thoughts and who knows. There's John, oh yeah, that was cool, and Tim's killing it on the guitar, and well, those words are, or might be whatever we're thinking about, engaged with so many different things. How come John's not on the drums today? I need to remember this for work. But it's intentionally a time to stop and be in the presence of God. And I want to give you guys permission to be in the presence of God during worship. And if that means you want to sit down, sit down. If that means you want to kneel, if that means you want to pace around, move, if that means you need to cry or sing really loud, it's a time to be, to stop all the things and intentionally be with God. And for me, I know those times are always distracted. I mean, that's just the nature of my, maybe our existence is, I don't know if there's this perfect moment of like, I just spent 30 minutes and I was completely like engaged with God. It's like, well, yeah, but I was also whatever got going on. I also encourage you, just for all of us during life, to stop and take breaks and just consciously be aware of God. And so I think it's kind of like a spiritual smoke break throughout the day, just like, I'm going to stop and take a spiritual smoke break, just I'm going to engage. Oh yeah, what are you doing, God? And it's so easy to go an entire day and at the end of it realize, man, I was just engaged in work all day. And like, I don't know where God was. Hopefully He was part of that. But to kind of stop, I was reading, my eyes have been kind of strained recently, and they came up with this 20-20-20 rule. So if you work on the computer, every 20 minutes, you're supposed to stop and look 20 feet away for 20 seconds. And it allows your eyes to relax. And that's good for your eyes. Rather than just, I got stuff to do. It's like, I can't spare 20 seconds to let my eyes relax. But in our lives to stop. And as doers, that's extremely hard for us. Just to stop the doing and just be. Just be with God. Acknowledge Him. Pray. So I think the solution is not for all, I hope you guys don't leave and all of you quit your jobs and drop out of school and just sit at home and till the money runs out and the house is so messy that it's no longer safe to live in. There is some doing that has to happen. We have to do in life. And so that's the other part. In our doing, I think there's really a lesson here in this story for in our doing as well. In our doing, like Martha, may we be with Jesus in our doing, in love, not distracted, not worried or upset about so many things. So after Jesus and his disciples leave, somebody's got to clean up and wash the dishes. Maybe even that evening. I would hope Mary, who took the time to be with Jesus, would get up and go and wash the dishes. And for that matter, men, we can wash the dishes too, especially on Mother's Day. But wouldn't it be cool if Mary was like, hey, I'm really enjoying this. Jesus, you want to come wash the dishes with me? Seriously, though, how fun would it be to wash the dishes with Jesus? I can imagine you're like washing the dishes with Jesus, and he's like, oh yeah, see how that stain came off? That's exactly what I did with your sin. I can imagine him just like teaching the whole time, right? Like parables. Hey, have you heard the story about the two dishwashers? There was this one dishwasher. Right? Or I can imagine just the enjoyment of his company. Just, it would go so fast, just like time would fly, just washing dishes with Jesus. Or maybe he'd be like, you want to see the easy way to do this? You know how I turned water into wine? This is easy. Boom, just say the word. Dishes are clean. I don't know. But the amazing thing is that we have a better deal than Martha and Mary. We have a better opportunity than when Jesus was here in a human body. Because when he left their house, they were disconnected from him. But for us, Jesus said when we put our faith in him, we become alive in our spirits. We are born again. We have Jesus with us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us when we put our faith in Christ. When Jesus walks out the door, we're still with Jesus. When you go to work, you're working with Jesus. And yet, sometimes we can just walk on our own strength, walk in our own flesh. We have the Spirit of God inside of us. And yet, and for me, work's the hardest place. I go to work and it's all about me. What can I do? How do I need to get it done? But there's been times, even at work, when I've walked in the Spirit, and God has given me insights and ideas, creativity, energy. He's given me love while I work. He's given me joy and an awareness of his presence. He's given me a reliance on him. And in my life, I go through waves of this. I feel like I'm kind of in the midst of this right now. I was telling my kids a story about, a made-up story, about some cowboys breaking a horse. I have never broke a horse to ride or really seen the whole process, but unless a horse has its will broken, it is of no use to a rider. As long as the horse maintains its own effort and its own intentions, I'm going to do this. I'm really going to please my rider. I'm going to take him over here. Unless a horse is willing to allow the master to lead and guide, the horse is of no value. I mean, it's pretty, but of no value. And in my own life, I think I'm a stubborn horse. I'm a stubborn one. And by God's mercy, he keeps breaking me and softening me and breaking down that outer man, that outer, I can do this, I can do more, I can do this and really impress you, Jesus, and tell everybody else to do more too. Instead of being with Jesus, allowing His power, His thoughts, His intentions to be the transforming work in my life, to be the force, the source in my life. I want to throw up a few phrases here. I think sometimes in our mindset we get this, my goal is to live for Jesus. In fact, I want to do great things for Jesus. I want my life to count for God. And I have said all of these things and desired all of these things. And yet I think this is Martha's mentality. This is Martha's, I want to do all these things for God. Instead of, I want to be with God. I want to allow His life, His Spirit to be expressed through me. So I think instead of living for Jesus, what if our goal is to come to Him? As He says, come to me, come to Jesus. Come and be with Him. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. What we have done has been done through God, even as He told Nicodemus, those who come to the light, that it can be seen that what was done was not done of my doing, but of my being with God and His expression in that. So we're going to watch a short testimony. So the team went to China for a little over 10 days, and we've heard a couple stories at Fiesta, and I'm really excited to hear more. We're going to try to do some testimonies kind of scattered out over the next week, and maybe the next Fiesta do a bunch of slides and pictures and stuff. And so I think just hearing Jenna's heart in this, I really appreciated her heart of not, I'm going to try to accomplish something great for God. I'm going to do something for Him, but I'm available. And I offer myself to be used.
Hi, my name is Jenna, and I had a chance to go to China recently with our mission trip, and I wanted to share one of the stories from that trip. So we had a lot of amazing things that happened in China, but my story is actually from the plane ride back. So usually when I fly, I'm somewhat available if someone wants to have a spiritual conversation. And so I went into that flight this way. I was sort of thinking, this is a really long flight, and maybe I should not start it at the very beginning because it could get really awkward if I have to sit here for 12 hours. And so we kind of talked for a while at the beginning of the ride, and we found out that we both had engineering degrees. We both had mechanical engineering backgrounds. And so we connected on that. We talked about things we liked about engineering and design and engineering and just hit it off pretty well. It was his first time away from home and away from China. He's flying to Boston to get his master's degree in engineering. So we chatted for a while and then slept and watched movies. And in the morning, when the sun was coming up over the United States, I thought maybe I should just ask him about his faith. So I asked him about, you know, do you have faith in God? And there was some confusion. He thought I was talking about Facebook, and so I had to explain that. And eventually he said, you mean like faith in God? And I said, yeah. And he said, no. I don't believe in that. I believe in science. And I said, well, so do I. I totally believe in science. I believe they go together completely. And I said, I think if you look all around, the science of the world just points you in the direction of God. And he just looked at me like he had never heard that before in his life and just amazed by it. He said, we believe either you believe science or you believe God. And I said, you know, you take a look at your hand and the amazing machine that it is, and just think about, there's no designer for our bodies. He kind of sat there and thought about it. And he said, you mean like the designer is God? And I said, yeah, it just makes no sense that there's no designer of all the creation in the world. I said, you know, Isaac Newton said there's enough evidence in the human thumb to prove the existence of God. He sat there and he thought about it, and he eventually asked some more questions, and I said, can I just leave you with this little booklet about how you can know for certain that you're going to heaven? And I left him with it, and so as I got off the plane, I was really excited, and I told the people I was traveling with all about it, and I said, you know, maybe someday I'll get an email from this guy, and he'll have read it and thought about it. Maybe he'll become a Christian and come to know the Lord. So I didn't have to wait very long. The very next day, he sent me this email, and he said, I'm just going to read it because I'll leave out details if I don't, but it says, hello, Jenna. I am Yugu. Do you remember me? I sat by you in the airplane. I've read the leaflet that you gave me. It's so helpful. Now I think I'm a son of God. God is perfect. He substituted us to suffer the punishment of death. I want to get this gift because I want to be blessed in spirit instead of being afraid whenever I sin. Just as you said, God assigned us to sit together. It was so impressive and significant. You are the guider to help me believe in God. Thank you. Now I think I'm closer to you than in the airplane, since we are both the Son of God. Another thing, I chose Green as my English name. And so I finally feel like I have an answer to why I went through engineering school. It was just for this guy. He's the whole reason I think I went to engineering school. But the next email I sent him was just some, maybe some different names that he could choose because his name would have ended up being Green Goo. And so I gave him some other suggestions and their meanings, and he ended up choosing a different name. But I also gave him some suggestions for churches. I said, just make sure you find a good Bible church. And he sent us a map with all the churches in his area, and we looked them over and kind of tried to find him one that he could visit. So the next weekend, he visited one, and then he sent my husband and I this email. I had a visit to Renewal Church this morning. I took part in their Sunday service. It was so helpful. I never felt so much friendship. After I got to church, I told them the story that happened in the airplane. They felt so shocked and took care of me so patiently. I thought this happened just because I got the blessing of God. First, there were some songs of praise. It was so magical. I never have listened to these songs, but I could follow the melodies and hum. I think this is a way to pray. At the same time, these songs can help me understand the guidances of God. And then he kind of talked about what the story meant to him in the church and said, in the end, I had a conversation with the pastor. He recommended some Christians to me. I had lunch with them, and I got a Bible as a gift. In a word, it was so great a visit. And so it was just super encouraging, and my husband and I have been emailing back and forth with him and answering any questions that he has. And so it was just great to see God work in that, and we were excited to be a part of it.
Isn't that cool? What a cool thing to be a part of. Be a part of what God is doing. If Jenna would have planned out, I'm going to go on this plane ride, and I have, all right, I got all of this planned out. I'm going to do this, and then this, and this, and this, and I'm going to make this happen, and it's really going to be like, no, you're missing it. Like, you get it. God is at work, and we get to be a part of that. And God uses it, and God grows it, and yeah, it's like, get off the plane and don't even know what's going to happen with it. It's so cool. So I appreciate your faith, Jenna, and your openness to be used. It's cool. And what a fun story. So even on Mother's Day, as I think about this, it's like, by the way, a lot of times on different days, we appreciate the service of our armed forces, which is so cool. I was thinking, especially, I have a friend, every time he meets somebody in the force, he says, thank you for your service. And just thinking of all the moms and like, thank you for your service to our country. What an amazing service to our country. Even this Mother's Day, and it depends on your wife, I guess, but guys, it might even be nice just to give your wife a break, to go and spend some time with God, which might include shopping, but I don't know. But just like have a chance to like, how valuable in a crazy busy world, especially with kids crawling all over you and stuff, you know, like to have that gift of just, I'm going to have some time to be alone, have some time to recharge and be with my King. And then the second piece of just as we go about our crazy worlds, as moms go about their crazy day-to-day, to have the presence of God, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in that place of rest, to walk in that place of God's power, His grace, His love, and that He can accomplish what needs to be really accomplished. There's still a lot to do, but to walk in it in that place of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. It's amazing to me how God has really used failures in my life. He has used sicknesses in my life. He has used red lights in my life. And these annoyances and inconveniences of me really doing some stuff for God to bring me back and like, oh yeah, I'm going to walk with you. Let you do your work. I want to spend just a few more minutes kind of thinking about this, thinking about what God would say to us. I want you to think about, how often do you personally need to hear from God? I think some of us can, I don't know, need more time in our lives to just be still. Some of us can do pretty well on a really full schedule. I think all of us need a certain amount. How often do you personally need to hear from God? Do you need a spiritual smoke break every 20 minutes? Does some time in the morning with God really set you up? Does some time in the evening to reflect? What are your needs for time with God? Number two, where are you living in your own strength when God allows you to live by the Spirit? Where are those places that you would like to offer God some space, to offer the Spirit to be there, to take over, to break down your outer person and let Him take the reins? And what has God been saying to you? What do you feel like Jesus has been saying to you? What is God speaking to you? I want to take a few minutes and just speak some things that God has spoken. And I don't know, I kind of have mixed feelings. Sometimes I read things where people are speaking as if from God, and some of them are really cool, prophetic, but sometimes it sounds weird. So I'm going to speak some things as if they're from Christ. I hope that doesn't go, what the, that's weird. But just, here's some things that Jesus has said. I don't know what specifically He wants to say to you, but Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I will never leave you, forsake you. Nothing can separate you from my love. Not the past, not the future, not you, not any human powers, not any spiritual. Nothing can separate you from my love. Come follow me. I do not condemn you." That voice of condemnation is not from Jesus. "I do not condemn you. You belong to me. You were aliens and strangers, but I brought you into my family. And you belong. Even if you belong nowhere else in this entire world, you belong in the family of God. Stop fighting. Why are you fighting against me? Why do you kick against the goads? Fix your eyes on Jesus. I am the author and the perfecter of your faith. It's not of your doing. There's so many voices in our lives. I think we live in a world more noisy than any world that has ever existed. Even in our times of quiet, we put on noise. And not only that, but even within us, there's so much noise. So much internal noise. I know people in their 60s who still hear as if it was yesterday things that were spoken to them when they were 5. And I want to invite you to allow Christ into those places to speak a new message, to speak healing and to speak life, to speak validation, to speak the sufficiency that you have in Christ, to speak that you can do all things through Him. So it is my prayer that we would all be able to find that time to stop and listen, and also find the awareness in our doing. All right, let's pray. God, I thank you for your presence in our lives. God, I thank you for all the women here. Thank you for all that they do. What a blessing they are to all of us. Thank you, God. Thank you for our moms. Thank you for the moms. Thank you, God, for your love and care. God, I thank you for what you want to speak to us. God, I ask that you would give us ears to really hear what you want to speak. God, I ask that you would train us to be aware of your Spirit and to walk in step with your Spirit. God, I ask that you would continue to break me down and break me as the like a horse in such a beautiful way. And for each of us, even as I pray that, it sounds painful, but I ask that you would, and that we could surrender and enjoy you and walk with you. God, I pray for the moms here. Pray that you would give them time to be still and have some time alone with you. I also ask that you would give them rest in their midst of their work, in the midst of their doing. For each of us, that we could find you in the midst of our time of not doing and the time of our doing. Thank you for what you're teaching us. Thank you for your Spirit at work in us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that it's not based on me being perfect, but you have given perfection within. Your Spirit is perfect. Thank you for your plans. May you be honored even as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.